stories, and he's been telling these stories. We sometimes call them parables. We've been capturing these stories, and we've been looking at them over these last couple of months. And we're going to be looking at a story Jesus tells, really in response to a question that Peter has. And Peter comes to Jesus, and he reminds Jesus probably something Jesus didn't need to be reminded about, and that is that he, Peter, had given up everything, his family, his job, his time, his life, in order to follow Jesus. And Peter's question is, so what are you going to do for me? Interesting question. And Jesus' answer to Peter's question, we find in the 19th chapter, and Jesus says, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Really, Jesus gives two answers to Peter's question. What about me? That's the first question, the answer. Well, you're going to get 100-fold back for what you invest. The second answer is a story. Listen to Jesus' story as we find it in the 20th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the first verse. And Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' And they said, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and bring them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, saying, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge me my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." Jesus' story is about a farmer who discovers he's got a bountiful harvest in his vineyard, grapes everywhere, and he's got a problem. How is he going to get his grapes harvested? And so he goes into town, and there he finds people who are looking for work. People are in there ready to go to work, and the farmer makes a deal. He says, "I'll pay you 1 denarius if you come to work in my farm." Now, a denarius in the first century was a very generous day's pay. And so this is not just something. This is top of the line. This is good employment. And so the workers come out and begin working in the farmer's field. We're told that the farmer then, after a while, goes back out into his field. But more than that, he goes back into town. And there he finds people who are not working. And he says, "Come and work for me, and I will pay you what is fair." unlike the first group, was that I'll give you a denarius. Second group, I'll give you what's fair. They come out and work on the vineyard. About noon, the farmer goes back into town and he finds more people standing around. And he says to them, come and work in my vineyard and I'll pay you what's fair. And they come and they work and they join the first two groups. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes back into town and there he finds yet others standing around. He says, come work in my farm and I will pay you what is fair. And they come to work on the farm. And then 5 o'clock, the farmer goes back into town, and there he finds yet others standing around. And he says, why are you standing idle all day? And they say to him, because nobody has hired us. Nobody wants us. And he says, I do. Come, work in my farm, and I will do what is fair. And they all are joined there when the day comes to an end. And the farmer says to his field hand, to the crew boss, he says, pay all my workers what is fair. And he had them all line up. Those who came to work last are in the front of the line, and those who came first in the day are at the end of the line. And those who are standing in the front of the line, they don't know what the farmer meant when he said he would pay them what is fair. But when the foreman handed them a whole denarius for a one-hour day's work, they were shocked. But not only they were shocked, so were the people behind them who had been working longer than 1 hour. They were shocked. And they began to think, well, if they get a denarius for 1 hour's work, I work 3 hours, I should get 3 denarius. But when they're paid, they get 1 denarius, like those who came at 5 o'clock. And then those who came at noon, they're given 1 denarius. And those who came at 10 o'clock in the morning, they're given 1 denarius. And those who came at the beginning of the day, they are really bitter. They're upset. Those guys only worked 1 hour. And you paid them a denarius. And we've been working with you all day long in the heat of the day, all the burden of the work. And you only give us 1 denarius. And the farmer says, wait a minute. Didn't we agree at the beginning, before you came to work for me, that you would get 1 denarius? And did you not think that was generous then? How then do you begrudge my giving you what we agreed on? Or begrudge me giving what is mine to others who have worked less? Take your pay, he says, and go. You miss the point, says the farmer. The point is not the wage. The point is not the denarius. The point is you got to work in my farm. That's the point. So what's fair? I guess that's partly Peter's question, and that may be your question too. The first place I worked as an ordained pastor was in Laguna Beach, California. Somebody had to do it. I was the assistant pastor at the Community Presbyterian Church, and Dallas Turner was the pastor, a great, great man. And Dallas was celebrating his 25th year working with that congregation, and the congregation wanted to celebrate those 25 years, and so they had a big party, and they invited all Dallas's predecessors, all those who were living, to come and be a part of that celebration. And I'll never forget that the one who immediately preceded Dallas there at Laguna Beach Community Presbyterian Church got up to the microphone, and for 20 minutes, he complained about how much they paid him when he was there, that they didn't pay him enough, and that they were short on gratitude and appreciation for the hard work that he did there. Finally, after 20 minutes, he sat down. And then Dallas's turn was, I'll never forget it, Dallas had this one-liner. Dallas said, all the years I've been working with you, you paid me what you could, and whatever it was, I am certain it was more than I'm worth. And he sat down. You could have heard a penny drop, but I was thinking of this story as Dallas said that. Because there are several groups of field hands, and I think we can say we can all find our place among those field hands. Yes, this is a story not just about Jesus the farmer. This is a story about us, those who would work in the vineyard of the farmers. And answer the question, or at least look for the question of what are we worth? What's fair? I think the first thing that we can answer that question with is we are worth working in the vineyard. We are worth the farmer's employment. If you look at this story that Jesus tells, it is not a story about field hands who come out looking for a farmer in whose farm they can work. Or they didn't negotiate with the farmer about how much they were going to get paid. It was the farmer who went into town and the farmer who identified them and said, would you come to work in my farm? And by the way, I will pay you a denarius for your work. And they all agreed. And the field hands came to work in the farmer's field. And then the farmer went in. Again, he went into town and again, he identified the workers and said, you, why are you standing around idle all day? Come work on the farm. Oh, okay, I'll pay you what you're worth. I'll pay you what's fair. Okay, noon, more workers. Why are you standing around idle? Oh, I don't know. Nobody wants me. Oh, I want you. Come and work on my farm until 5 o'clock. Each is given the opportunity to work on the farm. The work is the gift. The wages, that's a little extra. Let me ask you a question. If there was no heaven, if life was not eternal, if there was no hell, would you still be a Christian? Would you still follow Jesus Christ? Because you see, the gift is working on the farm. The gift is the life in Christ. That's the gift. And in fact, that is eternal life also. It's not just what happens after we die. It's what happens as we are alive. And the gift is given generously. Anybody who's ever been unemployed understands not only the frustration, but the anxiety and the panic that comes with knowing you don't have any work. You have no income. You have no means by which you can justify your existence. Life is empty. Some of you have asked me, Don, why are you here in Fairbanks when you've got a loving family in Sacramento? And I go, because here is where I'm needed. Here is where I have purpose. Here is where I find meaning. Retirement and playing golf and all that is a goal. It's good enough, but it's just not worth getting out of bed for. The workers came to work in the farmer's field, and the farmer is saying, and that's what it's all about. Notice the all-day workers. They have no sense of the other workers, only of themselves and what they think they're worth. But the farmer does. The farmer goes into town and says, why are you standing here idle? The farmer knows. He knows why they're standing around. He knows Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a martyr. He was a great theologian. He was a marvelous preacher. out of the 1940s used to say, I know whenever I meet somebody, even before I know their name, I know two things about them. First, I know they're in crisis. And second, I know they're loved. When the farmer goes into town and he sees these workers standing on a corner waiting to be picked up and given a job by somebody, he knows two things about them. Two things. One, he knows they need a job. And two, he knows he is generous. Two things. He knows about you, and he knows about me. He knows we are in crisis, and he knows that we are loved. The question is, do you know that? That's the second thing. That's the second thing that Jesus answers this question of Peter's, what are we worth? He says, you're worth the promised wages. That's what you're worth. And by the way, that's very generous. Jesus makes it perfectly clear. When you do something for our Lord, when we really take seriously the matter of honoring him with our gifts, our tithes, helping the poorest, worshiping him, we are surrendering to him our life in its joys and sorrows. Our life, not as a means to an end, but an end in itself. Salvation. The glory of working in the vineyard, the glory of giving, the glory of participating in what God is doing is reward enough in itself. And whatever else God throws in, praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Yes, there's a poem. There's a poem by Ralph Cushman, who, one of my favorite poems. And the poem talks about the worker who shows up in the field first, early in the morning. And Ralph Cushman takes that image, only he uses the image of a sailing ship going out to sea. And his poem is called The Secret. And it goes like this. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. And his presence came like sunrise, like a glory within my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. And then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek God in the morning if you want him through the day. At the end of the day, even the burden and the heat of the day suddenly take on a new hue. Anybody who's been through a crisis with Jesus Christ wouldn't do it any other way. Anybody who has discovered the pain and the sorrows of the heat and the burden of the day without Christ knows there's got to be a better way. A better way. Working in the vineyard is its own reward. So instead of saying, because I was faithful in times of trouble, surely God must give me a higher place in heaven. No. Instead say, not until I went down into the depths of my greatest need did I realize how wonderful my Lord was to be at my side and to take my hand and to lead me through that valley of the shadow of death. I was not alone. About those who came late in the day, yes, 1 hour to work in the vineyard, Jesus has compassion. Look at what Jesus says to those he goes into town and he sees them standing on the corner looking for a job. Jesus says to them, "Why do you stand here idle?" As if he didn't know. And they replied, "Because no one has hired us. Nobody wants us." And Jesus says, "I do. I grew up in Stockton, California. And down in Stockton, there are a lot of fields, mostly asparagus. And asparagus is a high labor-intensive crop. And so I remember down by the Turn Basin there, downtown Stockton, people would gather together early in the morning. And the farmers would come in with their pickup trucks and load them up with workers, and they'd take them out to the fields. I remember how I'd feel driving by that corner around noontime. There would always still be a few people standing there. And I knew, and they knew, they were not going to get a job today. And they were going to go home at the end of the day and explain to their wife, or try to, and their children why they weren't going to have any dinner tonight. Those who came at 5 o'clock were not those who were gloating, going, "Whoa, I got a good deal. Look at that, I only worked for 1 hour and I got a whole denarius." There was no joy there. Oh no, there was relief. Relief. Today, I was hired. And the all-day workers, they had a job. All day long, they worked in the vineyard knowing that at the end of the day, they were going to get their denarius, they were going to get their reward, they were going home with their pockets filled. There was no gloating over, "Huh, look at that. We didn't get as much as you did. Or you should have been here earlier." That's one of the reasons why we baptize babies. So that there never will be a day they will not know that God has placed his sign of love upon them. It's not because of what they know. It's not because of what they've done. It's because of God's love. And Jesus asks the question of the field hand who's trying to explain to Jesus why Jesus ought not to be giving away so much money to all those who only work for 1 hour. And that field hand's not doing a particularly good job of it. And Jesus asks him, he says, "Are you envious because I am generous?" Did you know that Greek word for generous is the word for healthy? Are you upset because I'm healthy? Are you upset because I'm wealthy? I'm generous. The fact is, Jesus could have given the whole farm away, except that he already had all farms. Could have given the whole farm away. Because he had it all, and he was a generous God, and that never changes. Which leads us then to the third reason that Jesus tells this story. We are worth, says Jesus, the farmer's persistence. Now, trying to listen to that field hand explain why this farmer shouldn't be so generous shows us exactly that field hand didn't really get it. Why that farmer had ever asked him to come and work in the field. Because the goal of the farmer was not to hand out wages. The goal of the farmer was to employ as many laborers for the field as he could. That's the goal, the difference between the farmer and the field hand. What a difference. "Oh, by the way," says Jesus to Peter, "you'll receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." The farmer then turns to the field hand and he says, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Remember, it's my money. I could do what I want with it." And God says, "And it's my world. and it's my life, and it's my time, and you're mine, and I can do what I want with it. I was at the barber, the hair cutter that I usually go to, and she was explaining to me as she cut my hair that she's found this church she's so excited about, and she says, oh, I just can't wait till next Sunday, and I listened to her, but I said, oh, so do your husband go with you? And she said, no. She said, he doesn't go with me. I said, well, why not? He said, well, she said, he just thinks all the church wants is his money. I said, huh. That's the impression I get when I go to the grocery store. All I want is your money. But I didn't say this to her. And I'm sort of glad I didn't. But I thought, what her husband doesn't know is that church is free. We don't sell tickets to go to worship. You didn't buy a ticket to come to worship today. It's free. And what he doesn't know is that the life that God gives to him is free. All he needs to do for his $2 is to show up. Work in the vineyard. Keep our eyes on the Lord, not the wages. Now, C.S. Lewis talks about the God grudge. You know, there are some people who think that God's just kind of this angry person out there, this miser who kind of like holds back all the good things he could be giving. He just holds it back because he's a mean one, he is. And besides that, he even wants to take what you got and hold it out from you so that you can suffer a little bit more. How far wrong could people be about the true God who created the heavens and the earth, and everything he created he called very good? He's a generous God. And he pours his generosity out on all those who would receive it. So, where are you in this parable? Are you like those who came early in the morning? Were you baptized as an infant and never knew a moment when you didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you followed him all of your life? Praise God! Now, you may be one of those who came at 10 o'clock, you know, when you were in high school and things weren't going really well, but you went to a youth camp, a conference, and there you discovered Jesus Christ and he's been with you ever since. Praise God! Or maybe you're like the people who came at noon, the workers who you know, they were the young couple, you know. They got married, and then they had kids, and they thought, well, you know, these kids ought to go to church. And then the kids kind of brought Jesus home with them, and then we kind of like, whoa, this is amazing. And we were followers, and praise God. Or you may be like those who came at 3 o'clock. Your job is kind of petering out, and you're looking at retirement, and the kids are all gone, and the dog has died, and you're kind of wondering, is there going to be any more? And then you're kind of like, maybe I ought to check this religion thing out again. And you do, and you go, whoa, look at that. Or maybe you're the 5 o'clock person. You're later in life, and you haven't really seriously considered being a Christian, but thinking maybe it's about time. I'll never forget Skip. Down there in Sacramento, we had an Alpha program. I don't know, you used to have an Alpha program here. And Skip, I said, Skip, why don't you come to the Alpha program? He said, nah, he said, I don't do Bible studies. I said, okay, that's all right. But would you come and help set up chairs and, you know, tables and stuff? He said, yeah, I can do that. So Skip came and set the chairs up, and then he sat through the whole first night. And then he came the second night, and then he came the third night. About 3 weeks later, Skip came up to me after a worship service, and he said, how come you never told me? I said, Told you what? Told me that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I said, Skip, we say this every Sunday. Oh, yeah, he said. I can't believe, he said, I've gone to church all my life, but I never knew that God was for real. Yes, they all got paid generously. They all did. Was that fair? Well, some would say, no, that wasn't fair. Others would say, well, it wasn't fair, but I'm sure glad it happened. And still others would say, it's not too late. What's fair? Well, Jesus said, what's fair to God is extravagant. And I'd like to share with you that what's fair for you? What are you worth? You're worth the life of the Son of God. That's what you're worth. And God paid it. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, show us, convince us what we are worth. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you've given to us to labor in your vineyard. Thank you for inviting us, encouraging us, welcoming us into your vineyard. We pray, O Lord, that by your grace we may never stop thanking you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.